That's all I needed. Well, I'm ready to go if you guys are ready to go.
Yep.
Sure thing.
All right, cool. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in once again to the Banff Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and I'm just doing this until my rap metal career takes off. I am here today with Mr. Walt Rebilliard of Hazard Studios. How you doing, Walt?
I'm not sure yet. We're pounding caffeine as soon as I can get it into the IV.
Okay. And Walt is one of the two godfathers currently presiding over the Supers RPG empire.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
And you guys just had a successful Kickstarter, and we're going to be doing a demo of Supers here on the podcast. And this is not the final revised version. This is 1.65 or something like that, right?
Yep, we're actually pretty close. Once we get a few more tweaks and work out a little more revisions from the backers, getting tons of awesome feedback. So this is actually a very different version than what we started with. Not different really in terms of how it operates, but different in terms of how slick it operates.
Okay. That's one thing about Supers is you guys have a small but very passionate player base.
Oh my God, they are amazing. And I mean, we've already got within 3 days of the surveys going out, we had 93% of them back. So yeah, we have, I think we're waiting on one or two more, but other than that, out of all of our hundreds of backers, we got mostly everything back. So it was amazing just to see how people are right on top of it and just slamming it down every time something hits their email.
Yeah, it's not every game system has fans who are that engaged. That's a good thing.
Yeah, and we actually got and I'll announce this here. We actually got contacted the other day by one of the coordinators for PAX East. They are working out a deal that they want us to come down and do a seminar along with several other people about small businesses doing successful Kickstarters.
Holy shit. Well, congratulations. Nice. That takes time.
Thank you.
Wow. I'm all kinds of jealous. PAX East is like that. That's legitimate. Wow.
Yeah, that's no joke. When I talked to the gentleman, I was very humbled, and I told him that although I am very interested in doing it, conventions scare me a little bit. So we're gonna play it one step at a time.
Okay, cool. And also with us, we have Mr. DT Burino. DT Puccino. Who does the AOV solo line from Zion Studios for Mutants and Masterminds. So you can pick up an RPG Now right now. How you doing, DT?
Pretty good. Thanks, Mike.
And glad to have you back. This is, I think, your second time here, right?
Yep.
All right, cool. And last but certainly not least, our frequent co-host, as well as our layout guy and artist, Mr. Aid Smith from Across the Pond. How you doing, sir?
Oh, pretty good, thank you.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
Walt is going to be taking us through a little, you call these scene stealers, right, Walt? A little, like a set-piece battle kind of thing for Supers?
Yeah, and I mean, this is something that's eventually going to go out to the backers, and then we might put a series of 3 to 5 of them together in a PDF for sale. Basically, these are things where if you have a, you need something to just kick off your game, or you need something that is just a quick interrupt of a scene, these are your bread and butter. So these are just quick blurbs, and the reason that they're really good for what we're doing today is it's just a quick bite and taste of the system, and basically allows everybody to get their hands dirty and see what works, what doesn't, what you like, what you don't.
Okay, cool. So I'm playing a guy called Red Jack, who's sort of in the cheesy Batman mode, if you will. More like Batman 1966 or Batman Brave and the Bold. He's a cheesy crime fighter. That's my guy. Aid, who's your guy?
I have a character that is based on my character in DC Universe Online, the PS3 game, and it's a speedster. She's called Burn Up, and she has fire powers. And as she runs, she leaves little trails of fire behind her, just like Bats of the Future.
Hey, is that game going away?
It's actually coming to PlayStation 4 when that launches as well, so it will continue for the foreseeable future as far as we're aware, so that's pretty cool.
Okay, I was just wondering because DC is launching another MMO.
The Infinite Crisis.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that is technically a battle kind of thing where you pick teams out of different universes and battle against each other. But not strictly an MMO. There's some kind of breakdown of MMO battle or BAO. I don't know whatever it's called. But yeah, it's not technically an MMO. But yeah, that's coming up pretty soon. But the actual proper DC universe is still going.
Okay.
It has been for a few years. It's very cool.
Okay. And what was your character's name again?
Burn up,
and it's a lady.
It is.
Okay.
Purple spiky hair.
And DT, who are you bringing to the table?
I am playing a character called Fortune, who is a probability manipulating martial artist.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. So sounds like we have a speedster, a martial artist, and I guess I'm basically a martial artist too, although I have some gadgets.
Yeah. So if you want, I can take you guys through a quick tour of the character sheets and show you some of the fiddly bits before we step on the gas.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. So real quick, we'll give you a quick breakdown of the rules and how Supers handles things. This is going to be some difficult stuff. So I'll make it as painless as possible. You roll some dice. I either compare it to a target number or an opposed roll. If you meet or beat the target, you pass. You meet or exceed by a certain amount, you get a better success, a little more amount, and you get an even better success, which could amplify your results. And that's it. So, I mean, the system is very easy. It's very straightforward. Real quick note about the difference between powers, skills, and mundane stuff. Powers are rolled straight. So if you have 4D or 4 dice in a power, you roll all 4 dice and you take the total of that 4 dice as your result. Powers can be used to attack, defend, or do a spectacular effect. So if you have an eye blast, it doesn't matter how it's built, unless you have restrictions that cut how that power is used. You can attack with it, defend with it, or try and create something out of the realm of how the power is normally envisioned. And we can get into that when we start playing. Skills. Your skills are a little bit different because skills are mundane, whereas powers are fantastic. Skills are used so that the maximum dice you can roll is 3D. So, like, 3 dice in a skill is considered like a master's degree. You are an exceptional professional in your field. You start crossing into 4 dice, and now you're talking about doctorate level or super professional stuff. And the difference would be, for example, somebody who rides around a racetrack on a souped-up motorcycle probably has 3D. Somebody who can do the same thing but is like Evel Knievel and specializes in crazy stunts on a motorcycle, he's got 4D. Now, how that works is you roll 3 dice if you're just using just basically motorcycle racing. You're rolling 3 dice. You take the result of those 3, and that's your score. If you're doing like add those action tricks, you roll 4D, and you take the highest 3 of those 4 dice. So even though you have more, you're going to just take 3 at a time, and those will be your 3 highest. So, and that's, in a nutshell, that's how that system works. It's very easy. You don't get a lot of running to the book looking for things unless you're talking about specific complications or whatever. On Mike and Aid, your character sheets, I put a couple of admin notes in different colors just to speed the process along. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to ask. As far as mundane equipment goes, Mike, if you look at your character illustration, on his right hip he has a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Your choice to use it or not. It's not listed on your character sheet because mundane equipment is considered pretty much carry. So if you have shooting, most likely you're carrying a firearm.
Okay.
Same thing for you, Aid. Unless it's a trademark weapon, something like Thor's hammer or Cap's shield. If you have the skill, like you have staff fighting.
Yep.
you consider to have the staff of some sort, you just have to tell us, you know, what you have and how you're going to use it.
Cool.
All right. So, any questions?
I'm pretty clear. You guys pretty clear?
All good to me.
Ready to go.
Oh, hey, speaking of Cap Shield, you guys see that trailer that came out today?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Don't spoil it.
I'll just say it looks good and leave it at that.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, all right, yeah, I'm good to go.
Awesome. All right, so Scene Stealers Part 1, okay? I assume you guys got DT's really incredible logo of the battle action metaphors?
I thought that was yours. Like, oh, that was cool. Well, thanks, DT. I appreciate that.
Hey, yep. No problem.
I'll work that into the website soon.
DT did that one, and he also did the Scene Stealers logo. So he's been cranking out some excitement for this. And so you guys are part of the battle action metaphors, bamfing crime wherever you find it every time superheroes decide to go super bad. You got a tip. You were hot on the trail of an armored car. You had reason to believe that the armored car was going to be hijacked by Cold Kill, who was a guy you've tangled with before. He has ties to a group on DT's sheet known as Skull, which is going to be a supplement from Zenith Comics coming out from Andrew soon.
Andrew Collis, folks, if you remember, he's been on here before.
Yep, and then we have he also has ties to Queen Vengeance, which has been on your sheet as well, Mike.
Yeah, I saw that.
So this guy's a pretty bad dude. Basically, you know him for his ability to move quick, freeze hard, and take what he wants and try and get away without regard to life, limb, property, or people's feelings. So you guys are hot on the trail in your Banffmobile. Within you have the motorcycle that you have on your sheet. Aid, you can decide whether you're running point, running ahead, or riding in the vehicle.
Okay, I run incredibly, incredibly fast. So
yes, you
do. I will actually run kind of, I will run parallel until we kind of get within visual, and then I'll start thinking about dashing off. Because that's also my disadvantage, is I tend to act before I think as well. So I thought we would dash off as soon as I see something of interest.
Okay, that works. What are you guys doing? You guys are following the armored car. In front of you, the armored car is swerving, moving in and out of traffic. Every once in a while, you can see it hit a parked car or dump into some trash barrels. Just behind it, you see Cold Kill moving at an incredible rate of speed. He's got these gauntlets that basically generate ice from the ambient water in the air. He's got them shooting at the ground and is basically sliding along like an ice luge. He's basically sliding along on one gauntlet, and the other gauntlet, he's freezing the back of the truck for some nefarious purpose. What are you guys doing?
Well, I'm going to presume that Mike is probably driving, because I ditched my vehicle skill, so...
you can be in the back of my bike if you want.
There we go. Why don't we do that?
Just helmet, safety first.
I think I'd probably tap you on the head, Mike, and say, hey, you want to get a little bit closer to Dorothy Hamill there so I can get a good shot at him?
Sure. I crank it up and try to get within range.
Okay, so you guys have ditched the Banffmobile in favor of the motorcycle for added maneuverability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The jack cycle.
You're not going to have to make a roll right now, as traffic is basically barreling out of its own way to try and maneuver out of the way of this huge armored car. The Cold Kill is, when people see him, they're basically scrambling even harder to get out of the way. You guys jack up the speed, so we're going to go right into a combat. The Cold Kill doesn't know you're there. You're coming up quick, but not so loud that the other commotion around him is tipping him off. So what do you do?
Can I jump onto the ice sled?
It's basically, think of it like the Iceman moving along. Right. Yes, you can jump onto that. You're going to incur. It's basically just like jumping onto an ice rink. So you go for it.
I want to see if I can jump on and actually kind of slide into him. That's what I'm looking at.
Gotcha.
So roll 3 dice and for my athleticism there.
Okay, so what we're going to do, let's see if your character sheet is here. So we're going to use athleticism for that.
Yep.
You have 4 dice, and now you're going to take the highest 3. So go ahead.
Okay. I got a 3, a 6, a 5, and a 3. So 6, 5, and 3.
All right, so we got a 14.
Yep.
Okay, and we're going to say that is going to be a hard success, which is a target 9. So yep. You surpass that by quite a bit. Basically, a major success.
Okay.
So you basically hop off to the side. Mike is basically, or rather Red Jack is basically driving parallel with the sheet of ice that's being formed. You jump off the side holding the bike and then propel yourself forward, sliding forward onto the luge. And you said you're going to catch him?
I'm going to try and like slide into him. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that's you. So basically, jumping on—that's going to be your action, Mike. What are you doing? Just basically keeping pace.
I think I'm going to try to keep pace and hold action. See what DT wants to do. DT, what's your character name again?
Fortune.
See what Fortune wants to do and be ready to react and catch him in case we need.
Okay, Aid, what's Burnup doing?
Okay, with my super speed, can I run up walls?
I'm going to say yes, seeing as just shy of your maximum effort, you can shatter the sound barrier, so you can probably get some traction going.
Okay, cool. So in classic kind of Flash style, I want to basically kind of run, jump up onto a wall for the buildings that are beside us and kind of try and run parallel with this thing, but keeping out slightly above him so that I'm not going to get splattered by one, a piece of traffic, and hopefully not going to get iced as well. So that's the plan.
Yeah, for you getting iced would be bad.
Yes. I don't want to run on the ice, obviously, because I'll just that's it, I'm on my ass. So I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to try and keep out of the way, first of all.
Okay, so Fortune jets off to the side, hits the side of a building. You hear a shattering of glass as basically the speed and traction start shattering and melting windows as you go, and you're basically keeping pace. Alright, so now next round, you see Cold Kill is continuing to basically blaze more ice onto the back of the truck, and you can see underneath the plates that form the doors are starting to crack. So now we're going to go, you notice that he takes note of you guys, approaching at a high rate of speed, doesn't see you yet, DT, but he sees, Mike and he's taking note of Aid. It looks like he pours on a little extra effort into, what he's doing and, trying to keep up with a truck that is, basically swerving in and around traffic still. So now we're going to go into standard rounds because he does know you're there, which is going to go based on your reaction score. So everybody take note of that on your character sheets.
Yep.
Okay, my reaction score is 3D, so I roll a 3D6, and that's the number we're talking about.
What's that?
My reaction score says 3D, so I roll a 3D6, add them up, and that's the score?
Yep.
All right, total of 6.
Okay.
Now, with mine being 40, do I roll 40 and add up all 4 or just the 3 again?
No, it's all 4.
Okay. 17. Or, sorry, 12. I don't know how to count.
Okay,
that.
12. I'm sorry, Mike, what was yours?
6.
And burn-ups, 8?
Yep, I have 5D, so I actually rolled a 21.
That kind of makes sense.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah. I guess if you're super fast, you might react a little quicker than somebody else.
The speedster goes hope. First. Yeah.
Okay. Go for it, Aid.
Okay, right. So my best bet at the moment is I don't want to touch the ice, obviously, because that's going to completely ruin my running. I have this staff. I'm going to try and throw the staff at... the bad guy and basically just I would do damage or just basically distract him from shooting at the back of the actual truck.
Okay, so you have 4D in your chosen weapon, so that basically makes you an expert with that. So you're going to roll four dice and take the highest three.
Okay, I roll a 2, a 6, and a 4. So and a 1, sorry, so 12.
All right, let's see. This is... Hazard Studios and the Vampire Podcast would like to apologize to DC Comics and pray that you do not sue us or come at us with an army of lawyers. Cold Kill, basically, he stops doing what he's doing to the back of the truck and then fires one of his ice gauntlets in return, trying to defend against that. He'll do that on his turn.
Okay.
Or actually, why don't I do it now? That way we don't get as confused, or I don't get as confused. Let's see. And what'd you say? You rolled a 12?
I got 12 in total, yeah.
Okay. So basically he uses his power, which he was using offensively, to roll defensively with it. He basically creates an ice shield. The staff shatters the shield, smacking him right in the temple. You see him starting to lose balance, and on his turn, he's going to have to try and recover himself so he doesn't face plant into the pavement.
Okay.
So that was Aid. Now we have DT.
Okay, with him off balance like that, can I slide into him and give him a kick to knock him into the pavement?
Absolutely.
Okay, using my 4D fighting. And I rolled a 13.
Let's see. He is going to defend with his athleticism. And who's that dice roller? Oh, I got so many screens up, I feel all important. Let's see. His athleticism. And he rolls, would you say a 13?
Yep.
You basically slam into him, kicking him, I assume, in the back or kicking his legs out?
Basically trying to kick him like in the small of the back to push him forward.
Okay. He definitely loses his balance, and everything seems to go into a slow-mo, which is kind of weird for you, Burn Up, because everything's normally in slow motion anyway, so it's kind of, you're thinking of going and making a cup of tea and possibly getting something to eat while this all plays out. He basically loses his balance and basically pitches forward, almost like going over the handlebars of a bike, mm-hmm. and he's going at a tremendous rate of speed for somebody just, without the protection of a vehicle. So he's going at about 40 miles an hour behind the armored truck. And now he's pitched forward, basically swan diving at the pavement. Mike?
I'm going to get my bike clear so that I don't crash when I hit him.
Are you going to aim for him?
He had a name like Cold Kill. I was assuming he was a pretty sturdy fellow, and maybe I didn't want to get my tire messed up when I, ran into him. These bikes are expensive, and actors don't get a... It's not like I got a 401k or Reliant. I'm working Broadway companies, for Christ's sake, I'm doing the ice page next week if things get dire, all right? So, no, I'm... I'm going to swerve around him and squeal myself to a stop and assess the situation, Is this going to be it for him, or is he going to need some more love and attention?
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and roll your vehicle?
Okay, let me see what I got there.
It's under aptitudes. Should be the last one.
And it's 3D. So let's reset. Plug in 3 and 11.
All right. Yep. You had a difficult feat to try and pull that off, and 11 clears it with no problem. You basically swerve right around his tumbling form as you basically hits the like a sidecar,
mm-hmm.
And comes to a complete stop. He looks like basically dents the car. The window shatters. You swerve around and come to a halt.
Mm-hmm.
next round. Okay, so go ahead and everybody roll your reaction again.
15.
Ooh.
11.
And I get 18.
Of course you do.
Oh, he's still in the thunder.
All right, Burnup, you're still on the wall, moving quick.
Yep. Okay. So now this guy is coming to a stop. I will kind of do a kind of wide circle, kind of make myself down the wall towards the ground as slow as possible, without killing myself and dropping off into the ground, and then basically just circle back around and kind of stand by him and try and recover my staff as well as before I do anything else.
Okay, not a problem. We can do that with no problem. So you come to a complete stop, I assume, right next to Red Jack.
Yep. If I can get to my staff, pick it up, and stand next to him and kind of give the guy a little wave and say, "Yeah, gotcha." And, <I'm happy. laughs> So yeah.
And Fortune. I'm sorry. It was Mike first.
Oh, yep. Sorry about that. Yeah. I guess I get off the bike. I unsheath my weapons and I walk towards Cold Kill carefully.
What are you taking out?
What do you call those two bladed weapons I've got?
Oh, the Kukri knives?
Kukri, yeah.
Okay, yep. So basically, Red Jack, picture Batman with a big diamond on his chest and all in red and a big blue cape, and he pulls out two red Kukri knives and starts walking forward. Do you say anything, do anything?
I move my shoulders just so my cape falls kind of just so and kind of flutters in the night breeze, and I start humming loudly my theme song. Bada 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 red. Oh, sorry, you guys.
And here I was going to ask what the theme song sounded like.
Once again, Hazard Studios and Daft Commons would like to apologize to Adam West.
I would love to be sued by Adam West. It's okay.
He's actually going to be at Rhode Island Comic Con next month.
Really?
Yeah, they're having a huge 60s Batman reunion.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot coming out from that now. Everyone has given their likeness rights, and they got all those characters and the actors' likenesses in the comic book, Batman 66, and they're putting out toys and probably games sometime soon. So, yeah, it's a...
Yvonne Craig, Batgirl's going to be in the comics, so that's fantastic.
she actually was, last issue.
Oh, okay, that's the one I'm waiting for, then. Good. That's my next week's purchase, so that's good.
Nice. DT, what are you doing?
I'm going to take a look around. I want to see what the surrounding is. Is there any water around or anything like that?
Yes. During the escape, the armored truck has struck a fire hydrant. Okay. So it's spewing all over the street just behind you guys, where in the direction that you came. So, you're all set. It's basically on the other side of where you're coming in. The armored truck has basically pulled off and pulled through the next traffic light and is now being surrounded by a host of police cars to protect it. Cold Kill is in front of you guys. You got parked cars on both sides. Think of like a street of like shops, open air shops and small little shops, bookshops, electronic stores, stuff like that. Not really a strip mall, but a street where shops are prevalent, and that's what you got going on. People are screaming, running in all directions. You got the water basically filling up into the street, and Cold Kill is righting himself up, trying to shake off being slammed into a car at 35 miles an hour.
Would you say there's water around him?
Yes, it's basically leaking toward him, so he would have access to water, yes.
By any chance, could I say my probability control, there might be a loose wire that might hit that water?
Why don't you, let's see, where is Fortune? By the way, very cool. Mike, I'll email you all these character sheets.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if you want to put them up on the site so people can download them and take a look.
That would be great, actually, yeah.
DT actually came up with a very cool profile for his character sheet. Looks great. All right, so you have probability control at 4D. Why don't you go ahead and give me that roll, and we'll see exactly what kind of situation we're dealing with.
Okay, I rolled a 6, a 4, a 2, and a 3, so 13.
And we have actually a pole leaning in his direction with a wire that's not quite down, but could be at any moment.
Maybe with the help of a baton knocking it into the water?
That's probably something that could happen. Should somebody have the ability to throw a baton?
I just happen to have that. Mine is not my best ability, but I will try that with my 2D.
Yes, all right, let's work that.
I rolled a 4.
All right, so basically, you know, you roll up in very militaristic fashions, giving your best grenade throw pose.
Mm-hmm.
Arm, you know, your off arm outstretched, the other arm by your ear, the baton in hand as you throw, and it sails harmlessly beyond the wires.
Well, at least I look good doing it, you know?
You look fantastic.
Awesome.
The look is key.
Cold Kill basically decides he's going to try and shake off the effects of being slammed up, and that'll bring us to the top of the order again. So let's go ahead and roll your reaction.
Okey-doke. 14.
9.
Okay, 18 again for me.
Alright. Wow, Cold Kill's having a bad day with these rolls. All right, so we got Aid. Go ahead and act first as Burn Up.
Okay, right. I have my energy control fire, which I assume means I can generate fire, or does it mean I can only control fire?
Well, energy control, the thing about powers in supers is they're left specifically vague. So with energy control, you can actually do a lot. So to attack, you can generate and blast with fire. That would simulate on the other character sheet your blast that you had. You can create shields of fire. You can try and basically, in combination with your super running, you could try and run through the air. You know, basically superheating the air below you and running on like a pillar of fire or something like that. There's a lot you can do. You're pretty much limited by your imagination.
Okay. Right. I will just basically then have generate a small kind of Ryu from Street Fighter energy blast and basically try and take one of these gauntlets out before we can do any more damage with it.
All right, so you're aiming specifically at the gauntlet?
I am attempting to aim at the gauntlet, yes.
Okay, so we got it's going to be a very hard shot. So that target number is 12, and just to give the folks listening at home an idea of what we're talking about, these are something in the realm of basic fighting, even though some of these guys are using powers. So a straightforward difficulty would be a target number of 3, moderate would be 6, a hard target number would be 9, and a very hard would be 12. This is going to be a very hard shot. Basically, it would be for you like throwing a baseball and trying to hit somebody's hand. So go ahead and try that shot.
So that's just the standard 4D from the energy control power, yeah?
That's correct, yep.
Okay, 4D, a 6, a 2, a 3, a 6, 17.
Nice. Okay, let's see. Gauntlets. Cold Kill. And all right, so you launch basically, I assume, like a fireball, or is it just a blast?
Yeah, fireball, yeah.
All right, launch that. He puts his arm up to try and defend, throwing another ice shield up. The fireball. The fireball cracks through the shield and hits the gauntlet, and you can see it starting to melt away. He's screaming in pain because now the metal that has formed this device is basically superheating his skin as well. So he's continuing to look like he probably should have tried an ATM.
I'd call that a success.
Based on what he rolled, it was actually a major success. All right, so now we have DT.
Well, seeing that he's in pain and everything like that, I think I'm just going to go up and try and sucker punch him.
All right. Using your fighting?
Yes, please.
Go for it.
Let's see. 2, 6, 5, and 4, so I rolled a 15.
Nice. I'm sorry, 2, 6, 5, and 4, that's the result of 3 dice?
4 dice.
This is your fighting?
Yeah, 4D.
Yep, so we're going to do 4D, but we're going to take the highest 3.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh,
the 6, 5, and the 4, so it's 15.
Okay, gotcha.
Sorry.
All right, so he uses his athleticism to try and body check you so that he doesn't get slugged in the jaw. Let's see. Oh, yeah, that's bad. All right, so now... all right, so he tried to basically body check you by throwing his shoulder into you. Basically, in every round, you can use a power offensively, defensively, or creatively. Mm-hmm. And he's already used his ice power defensively, so he can't use that offensively to try it or defensively again. So he's using his athleticism to try and body check you. He got a 5. So you have a major success. Basically, as he tries to body check, he puts his face directly in line with the shot coming in.
Nice.
And you feel a crunch of bone under your gloves. You once again aid for you watching as your everything seems slow-mo to you. You see a couple of teeth moving at a high rate of speed toward the ground. Mike, what do you got?
Is he out?
He is not out. He looks badly stunned. Like, he just got his bell rung hard.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just try and knock him out so we can time up for the police.
All right, go ahead and roll your fighting.
Okay, that's 3 dice. I got a total of 8.
Okay, and he's going to try and defend with his reaction. And you got an 8?
Yep.
He got a 6, and going to the... I gotta tell you, the handy-dandy charts that Aldo made as far as calculating how damage is done to resistances makes this infinitely easier. You slam him in the face with an armored gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
And the back of one of your cookery knives.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what do you call it? He puts his arm up and burn up melts away one of his gauntlets, shattering through an ice shield.
Mm-hmm.
Fortune slides up and goes for a punch, basically hitting him one way. And he basically stumbles right into you as you hit him the other way. And you see him drop to his knees and slump to the ground.
And if I can take a free action, I will take out my custom painted red handcuffs from the utility belt. And cuff them up and put in a phone call on my custom red cell phone to the local.
That's a good theme.
Local
Is your cell phone really big?
It's got to say Red Jack on it. And like,
there you go.
Top, yep. So.
You put basically cuff them up, lean them against the car. You see some of the police running in. What do you do now?
I take out a stack of glossy 8x10s and start offering to sign them for the police officers.
They run up. A couple of them go to basically handle Cold Kill and start to pull him out of the way. A couple of the cops and some of the bystanders are basically crowding around you. A few of the guys actually call you Red Fist for some reason.
Oh, that's the guy on the show. I'm Red Jack. I'm for real, buddy.
Just so that you guys know, in Mike's background, Red Jack's background, he's actually an actor on a superhero TV show.
Nice.
So he in the media, Red Jack has been known, has been linked to being a fanboy of the TV show Hero. So as you guys are signing autographs, you see the two police officers going to pick up the assailant. There is a huge explosion behind you. The place where Cold Kill and the two police officers were standing is obliterated. Huge object basically crashed into the ground and then barrels right into one of the storefronts.
Well, let's go investigate.
Yeah.
right. Who's moving in? Who's staying back? What are you guys doing? Give me a description.
Using my impulsiveness, I will dash as fast as possible to the offending object and see what's happening.
Okay.
As fast as possible is pretty bloody fast.
Yeah, I'm going to use super running. I can go 200 miles per hour to get over there. So
That's your what do you call it? That's your motorcycle.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Never mind then. I will just jog over.
Literally.
Well, you have athleticism 3D, so you can actually move pretty quick. You could probably give a pit bull a run for its money.
Well, that's handy. Okay.
Especially if you're, on the way home from the store and, they're just loose. It's a thing.
Carrying a lot of pork chops. I got you.
DT?
I think I'll check on the cops really quick, make sure they're okay.
They are just, the cops that are standing near you are okay. Everybody basically hit the ground.
Okay.
But the police officers that were standing there with Cold Kill, you don't even see them. They're just gone. There's a huge crater leading into the storefront. It looks bad.
I'll head to the storefront then.
Okay, so Aide, you're there first. And basically, you're looking at the remains of what looks like a medium-sized plane. probably like a Learjet. You know, a private commuter plane, but bigger than a Cessna, and it's ripped to shreds. I mean, it just, the impact combined with tumbling through the store and coming to a complete stop, you basically zoom through the storefront into what amounts to be like a large back alley where they have like trash cans and stuff like that for the surrounding buildings that make up the block. So it's almost like an enclosed space with one exit leading off.
Right, I will basically, as fast as possible, using super speed, I'll basically dash around and see if I can see any sign of any survivors or anything kind of in the cockpit or in the back of the plane itself.
Okay, as you approach toward the, Mike, can you just check the recording? I dropped out for a second.
I heard a little drop noise, but the file size is still going up, so I think we're still on the same file. So
sweet. Okay. So you guys, you go and basically check in and around the plane. You can see the two pilots are dead. There's virtually nothing left of them. As you go to enter the cabin to see what the hell is going on, the door flies out as though it was kicked with tremendous force and hits the wall beside you.
Right, okay.
At this point, you guys, both Mike and DT, Red Jack and...
Fortune.
Fortune. You guys arrive on scene, and you basically arrive just in time to see the door hit the wall beside you.
Darn, that was an awfully solid door. I wonder who kicked it.
Take a look around.
As you guys are, do you guys go in the plane? What do you do?
Yeah.
Just looking. Just waiting to see what happens.
I kind of dash in. What I try and do is kind of make a kind of pass. So I dash towards it, jinx the left, and then kind of dash parallel to the doorway so I can try and get past the door and look in as I go past so I don't actually dash inside the thing. So see if there's anybody actually standing in the doorway itself.
Okay. You go to maneuver into the doorway. Go ahead and roll your super running.
Okay. My super running is a total of 6D. A total of 22.
Yeah, you're good. You go to dash parallel, throwing your head in as you approach the door and then trying to take a peek. You see basically what battered the door out of the way and managed to pull your head out in time as a huge metal fist crashes into the front of the where your head used to be, knocking a huge section of the plane against the back wall.
Okay.
What emerges looks like a large man, probably... 6.5 to 7 feet tall. He's wearing what looks like an armored blue unitard. His face is horribly scarred and burned. His both arms are exposed and sleeveless, and there's no actual skin. It's all like cybernetics. Just a massive, massive man, and he steps out from the plane carrying what looks like a man in a military uniform. He rips off a case from the man's hand and basically taking the hand and handcuff with it, and then drops the body. He looks at all of you and says, "This has nothing to do with you. I'm just going to be on my way, passing through. You should do the same. What do you do?"
Okay. Go ahead.
I throw a knife at his face.
What's that?
Yeah, that's kicked to the point.
You're going to throw your knife at his face?
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll your super weaponry.
Well, I wasn't coming up with any good, quips, so I just, you know.
Allow me to introduce myself. Boom! Go for it.
Okay, hang on. Let's see. Somehow I lost my browser window, so I'm pulling my thing back up. All right, super weaponry. Looks like that's 4D. So I roll 4, get the 3 highest.
No, you get to use all of them because it's power.
Okay, 14.
He's going to defend with his reaction. And he puts his other arm up, and the blade bites deep into the metal skin surrounding his arm, and he just kind of looks at it and leaves it there.
I like that knife. You're giving that back.
He says to you, "Of course, little bird. Come and get it." So now we're going to go into reaction rolls.
Okay.
So go ahead and Mike.
Okay, it's 3d6 for me. A total of 7.
And DT?
14.
Need I ask?
Yeah, 15.
Wow, he rolled low.
Yeah, he rolled low, but yeah. Still number one.
Okay, right.
Cool. Right, as these two guys, well, hopefully these two guys are going to start doing some damage to this bloke, I am going to attempt to use my super speed to wrest the case from his hands, either by... Not by actually beating him in strength, but actually kind of probably like tearing the either the cuffs or the hand off the case to actually rip it from his hand.
Okay, so you got a couple of ways you can do this. You can use your super running to try and do it. You can use your by basically super speeding, you know, basically moving by at a high rate of speed, causing the handle or whatever to break. You could use your energy control to do it, to melt. I mean, basically, you're limited by your imagination. Go for it.
Right. I will use, as it's my highest stat, I'll use my super speed to basically try and prize it off him by sheer force of speed and power. So.
Okay, so go ahead and roll that.
60 gives a total of 19.
Nice. Okay, so you move by. I mean, there's the remaining windows in the plane shatter. As you break the sound barrier and basically break the handle and just remove the case, standing on the other side in the cocky girl pose with ha-ha grin on your face?
Yeah. Okay, if he waited it in this display, he's not going to get it, so yeah.
He sits there and he says, I'll deal with you in a minute. DT.
Okay. Is it possible any chance to use probability control as an attack?
Absolutely.
Then I think I'm going to take a baton, and I'm going to try for a lucky shot.
Okay.
Using my probability control instead of my shooting.
Okay.
Now, do I use all 4D with that because that's a power?
Yep, you're going to be using all 4D.
Okay.
And I'm just bringing up probability control now on my handy-dandy PDF.
Yep. I rolled 19.
Dear God.
And
right, so what are you going to describe what you're doing?
I'm basically taking the shot. I'm going to try and rebound it around a couple of times to build up some momentum and probably give him a good crack right in the open part of his face with it.
Okay.
And probably saying the whole time, you know, I usually allow ladies to go first, but in this case I think he'd be a little brutal.
All right, so basically you just sit there and you throw it, you basically throw it at him, and much like, what's that?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Sorry.
No, that's okay. And much like before, it sails what appears to be harmlessly by him, rebounds off of a fire escape, hits a garbage can, and then strikes him at almost full force, batting the back of the head. He takes a step forward, looks remarkably stunned. What do you call it? Mike.
Yeah.
Your attack.
Oh, I thought... I guess I'm last. Here we are. Okay. I'll follow up on what Fortune did and try to punch him in the face.
All right, so go ahead and roll your fighting.
Okay. Fighting is only 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is a pretty heavy customer. Maybe I want to somehow use a power.
Well, you have your wizardry. You have your weapons.
Yeah, super weaponry. I'm going to try to bop him.
Keep in mind, you can't use the boost for that super weaponry right now, the split action,
okay,
because that would require both knives, and he's got one of them embedded.
Okay. I'll just follow up and try to do another shot to the face then.
Okay. Throwing or swinging?
Swinging.
Okay. So you move in and swing. Go ahead and roll.
46, total of 20.
Oh, my God.
There we go.
What do you call it? So basically, once again, it's like almost like a team-up move. DT's baton sails off the garbage can lid with a resounding, like, bong. It hits him in the back of the head. It's basically his head is the only thing on him that doesn't appear armored. It causes him to stumble forward. He tries to bat away your attempt to hack him in the face again. The knife sails around his attack, basically hits him just behind the eye and rips a huge gouge of flesh away from his face, exposing what appears to be a fusion of bone and metal with a red glowing eye underneath, basically bringing him down to one knee as he tries to steady himself. As you are you're the closest, but Aid, you have the case. He tries to split his action. He tries to grab you, Red Jack, and is going to use you as a projectile weapon at Burnup.
Okay, so I want to dodge that.
Yeah, so you have a couple things you can use to do that. You have athleticism. You have fighting. You could try and use something from your utility belt.
Smoke bomb.
There you go.
Awesome. All right, so he's going to roll to try and dice roller. He's going to try and roll to give you a punch, and he gets a 21. Now, keep in mind, you have competency dice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have two competency dice that were included in your character total, and those are like action points. You can use them to increase a roll, stuff like that. So if you want, you can go ahead and use one of those now, or you can go ahead and throw your dice and take the consequences if it doesn't go so well.
Okay, so I can only use one at a time, so I can roll four dice instead of three if I want.
Yep.
Okay, let's do that then. Let me reset the die roller. 46. Hope for the best. Shit. 9.
Oh.
I get the opposite of the last roll.
Can I do a reroll? Any way I can do that?
Sure, you can spend another competency die.
All right, that's what we're going to do because, yeah, this is going to hurt. Okay. 24.
Nice.
6666. Holy shucks.
All right, so basically you throw down a smoke bomb. And it hits, and there's a little, like, a little poof. And, you know, you give him that look as he draws back his hand, so you throw another smoke bomb down, and it totally obliterates the scene. Basically can't see anything. You hear, like, a stumble, and Fortune, you see him, the assailant, come out of the smoke, basically alone. And, you know, you see, like, a movement inside the mist that you can only assume is Red Jack. All right, so... go ahead and roll again your reactions to top of the round.
Okay, I get 17.
16.
Who's got the higher reaction, Red Jack or Fortune?
Fortune's got 4D.
Mine's 3D.
All right.
Fortune goes first.
Yep. So go ahead, Aid.
Okay. As I have this briefcase safely secured, I will do another flame blast and like a fireball and see if I can do some damage with that.
Go ahead. Roll your energy control.
Okay. That is 4D. So we have 4D. Oh, four roll. Two and a one and a two for a total of six. So that's pretty damn. So I think all that smoke bombs got in my way. And
okay. He defends by basically ripping off a section of plane and putting it in the way of the fire blast. You melt the plane away, like clear away, but he appears to be unharmed. Go ahead and DT.
Okay, I think with him being kind of distracted with the smoke and holding that piece of metal, I think I want to bound off the metal and kind of almost kind of knee him in the head using fighting.
Okay, so that's going to be a difficult roll, so just to pull it off, your target's a 12, and then he'll get to defend it.
Yep. Nah, I missed it. I rolled an 11. Missed it by one.
Okay. So you basically sail by him and land to the top of the plane. Go ahead, Red Jack. Mike?
Okay, my action again. I'm going to just roll out of the cloud and try to get a, you know, see what's going on.
You see DT on the top of the plane. You see the enemy, armored enemy, standing just ahead of the smoke, and you just arrive just in time to see Burnup throw a flaming like a fireball and obliterate a section of plane he was holding.
Okay. So I've got a clear view of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I shoot him.
Go for it. So that's going to be 3D?
3D or 4D?
Shooting. Oh, you're going to use your knife, so you're going to throw your knife again?
Well, if it's 4D for the knife, yeah, I'm going to throw the knife.
Yep, go for it.
15.
He's going to... he's going to defend... Well, he's got armor. What else is armor? What do you call it? The blade basically sinks into his back. You hear a loud pop and hiss as all sorts of wires and stuff like that are exposed. He basically turns around and hits a dumpster to dislodge your knives. Mm-hmm. He looks at all three of you and he says, "This isn't over. We will meet again." There's another loud pop as you see, all of the cybernetics basically maneuver and turn into a jetpack, and he takes off straight up into the air.
Yikes. Okay.
No, wait, come back. Don't run, no. He said you were going up against a Transformer.
What do you guys do?
Well, I do have flight. But is it only gliding, or can I?
Yeah, it's gliding only. So you would have to use your wizardry to possibly get a grapple line.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Let me roll a 3D for a grapple line, see if I can pull him back down.
Go for it.
Okay. 14.
Ooh. He will defend using his... Oh. Okay, so he basically starts to take off. You fiddle in your belt and put on the grapple line.
Mm-hmm.
The line shoots out and grabs his leg, changing his trajectory. He slams into the fire escape that you saw earlier. His weight combined with his speed basically rip it from its moorings from the wall, wrapping it around as he goes, almost forming like a cage as he hits the ground with a huge amount of force and lands unconscious.
Huh, look at that. He was right. We did meet again.
I thought Red Jack was the master of the cheesy.
Well, you know, I've got overconfidence, you know.
Okay, so while you guys are trying to assess the situation and assess what's going on, you see a host of military guys show up. basically wearing no insignia and driving up in a bunch of black SUVs. One of them comes up and, you know, nods to all of you and says, my name is Burke. No first name, just Burke. And I believe you have something of mine, please.
I whip out a glossy 8x12 and sign it for him.
I point to the guy in the cage.
And he's
that
like,
what you're looking for?
He's like, no, that's going to be a problem. He signals back, and you see a whole bunch of agents run forward with all sorts of devices trying to basically, they're going to sedate him and take him away. He goes, that's Rio, also known as Rio de Sangue, the River of Blood. He's a Brazilian mercenary turned cyber terrorist. That's interesting. He turns back to you, Red Jack, and he says, can you actually make that out to Burke? That's my son.
Fortunate.
To Burke from Red Jack. Hey, your dad's in Majestic 12, right? Just let me know.
And that's where we'll cut it for time constraints. So basically, that's a quick overview of how Supers works.
Well, it was really fast and fun.
It's easy. It's easy. I didn't really get into the damage as much on your side because you guys did use some expert rolls to avoid things. So you guys didn't suffer damage as much. But if you wanted to do that again, I'm sure I could formulate a couple more villains to give you guys a run for your money.
Okay, that sounds bad. You want, yeah, I can find some villains to beat the crap out of you. Okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, let's go for that.
Like I said, overconfidence. I'd go for it.
Yeah, probability control just seems very, very capable in this game.
It's you can do a lot with it. The same thing with your utility belt, the wizardry. Mm-hmm. You have a complication that basically limits it to the size of the device. Any device you pull from it has to fit on your belt,
okay.
Which basically limits what you can do. But at the same time, the versatility of it, say you needed to fly to a building across town, you can only glide with your cape,
mm-hmm.
but you could use your kukri knives to basically climb a building and then jump, or use your wizardry to create a zip line, get up, and then fly from there. Same thing with Burnup's energy control. She can create fire blasts, fire shields, could create a wall of flame running by to wall in opponents. Basically this game is narrative enough, crunchy enough to let you feel the numbers, but not crunchy enough to where they get in the way.
Cool. Okay, guys, well, I got to wrap it up and get back to work. Anything else we want to talk about before we call the show?
I'm good.
All right, cool. All right, well, hey, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.